Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. In this show, we are talking about the free agency period for the Eastern Conference teams, breaking it down from a fantasy basketball perspective. Let's go!
Six. Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant, to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. AD Bonzibo!
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination. It's the journey. Mamba out.
Hello and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast again. I'm your host, Mitchell Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. And as always, I'm joined with my good friend, Callum Mack. How you doing, mate?
Pretty good, dude. Feeling inspired that there were haters out there that said our intro is too long. It's not. It's perfect. Inspirational.
It gets me hyped up every time. And now we're hearing it live on the podcast with a bit of new equipment that we've got available for the first time. So I'm feeling a bit extra juiced up as well than normal, instead of just listening to it in post-production. So love that with our new equipment. You might hear a few more sounds throughout the podcast than normal as well today. But getting straight into it, because we've got a lot of things to get through today. Free agency. It's come and gone. It all happened pretty quickly. Since the last week, since we've recorded. So before we get stuck into the teams individually, any big takeaways from a more NBA perspective with free agency, Cal?
It all happened pretty quickly, like it always does. There's no huge, I don't think, winner either, but there's good shuffle. So there's definitely some fantasy aspects to take in consideration.
Yeah, lots of fantasy things, lots of fantasy fallouts for us to talk about today. So we're going through the Eastern Conference on this podcast. The next podcast, we're going to go through the Western teams as well. So we're going to get stuck straight into it, going alphabetically through all the teams. For those who are watching along on YouTube there, we've also got our projected starting five up on the screen, which you'll be able to see. Obviously, it's early days and these might change, but just projecting what we think that they will be opening night or for the majority of the seasons with a few injuries still to play out. So let's start with the Atlanta Hawks. Couple of notable additions that they've made. Nothing too major for this team. We've got D'Lon Wright coming in from free agency, and they've drafted Sharif Cooper and Jalen Johnson, as well as they've signed Gorgui Dieng. They've lost Chris Dunn. Not too exciting here, Cal, but we do know that this is one of the deepest teams in the NBA. We spoke about this last year. They're even deeper this year with a couple of solid draft picks and picking up D'Lon Wright, who I think is an upgrade over Chris Dunn. In terms of how this impacts the team fantasy-wise, what are your major thoughts? Is there much to take out of the free agency period for these guys?
Free agency, not too much. I don't think these guys are going to contribute hugely. I still think because they went their main... you could say it's a negative from a fantasy point of view, is just the injuries. And it's kind of hard to project their starting lineup because they're such a deep team.
Yeah.
They really are a deep team. Gallinari stepped in sometimes. You had Reddish had some time out, which gave some great opportunity for some Solomon Hill. We saw late season. I wouldn't say he's a fantasy prospect, but open the starting point guard to Bojan Bogdanovic. Huerta got, some starting roles at some point. So it is tough to forecast him. Obviously, Trae Young will do his thing fantasy-wise. I feel like it's probably more the forward position. Is John Collins the starting power forward? Probably. The small forward, I think, is open for debate.
I think
is
so,
it,
too.
Is it Reddish? Is it Hunter?
Yeah, I think so, too. I've popped in DeAndre Hunter here at this stage, but I think that's the one I'm least confident in. The shooting guard position maybe a little bit as well, but with Bogdanovic there. Look, it... again, with if we go back to those free agency signings, obviously DeLon Wright was another player who had a little bit of fantasy value at times last year, but won't have any fantasy value on this team. So he's a big loser when it comes to the Atlanta Hawks here. Outside of that, yeah, not too much different. I think you've got limited value outside of the Trae Youngs, Clint Capellas, and John Collins on this team. The wings are all just like your 28 to 30 minute a night sort of guys, and they don't put up too many big stats. I think the probably the highest upside guys there is a DeAndre Hunter, who's got that sort of more efficiency, better rebounder, can get some steals and things like that as well. But outside of that, I think there's not too much exciting going on here for the Atlanta Hawks. So we'll move straight on. A little bit more intrigue with this team here, the Boston Celtics here, Cal. So they've been busy. They've made a few moves going back even before the draft. They obviously they had a trade getting rid of Kemba Walker. So we'll go through their additions. They've added in Al Horford, Josh Richardson, Dennis Schroeder, who signed today as well, and Enes Kanter, who's coming over from the Trailblazers. And they've lost Kemba Walker, Tristan Thompson, and Evan Fournier. So what are your thoughts here on the Boston Celtics? Obviously, we've got a few moving pieces here. What do you think is the biggest takeaway from their free agency moves?
Look, they're lucky that they got Dennis Schroeder last minute. So he's definitely going to contribute to this team. I could even see him sliding into the starting lineup and Al Horford being pushed out into a bench role because we know Robert Williams with the injury kind of history isn't super reliable and gets in the kind of foul hunt as well. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. But otherwise, your main contributors, Smart, Brown, and Tatum, will be contributing similarly to what they did last season, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to play out here, and I'm very interested in to see. Obviously, this is my team, so I am always interested in the Celtics. But I wonder what the starting lineup is going to be. I wonder how many minutes Al Horford's going to play. I wonder what they're going to do with Josh Richardson, who's come in. Whether he's just going to be a replacement for Evan Fournier or if they see him as a starter. At the moment, I keep flip-flopping between Josh Richardson starting at the shooting guard and everyone moves down, pushing Robert Williams off into the bench, or they push Al Horford to the power forward and start Robert Williams at center. I'm not really sure where it goes there. I think it might even be like a matchup-dependent rotation system. So if they come up against, say, like a Indiana Pacers, a team with a couple of big power forwards and centers in Sabonis and Turner, then they'll start the big-headed sort of front court with Horford and Williams. But then when they come up against a Brooklyn Nets team, they're not going to start the both of them together because one of them's going to have to go Kevin Durant, and that's just not going to work out. So they might start a Josh Richardson or something like that. So there's a few things to play out here. Who do you think are the biggest winners and losers with Kemba leaving and Al Horford coming in, obviously with the other sort of losses and additions taken into account as well?
The biggest winner, it's probably going to be Jaylen Brown and probably, I don't know, they both had such good seasons. I don't see them really inflating, but they're still going to have the same usage. Kemba was putting some shots up. Maybe it goes to Marcus Smart. Maybe that's the guy it goes to, but you have to be reminded, you could say that Dennis Schroeder slots in and can take just as many shots as Kemba did. So you could flip a coin. I don't think there's any real clear winner per se.
Yeah, I think there's like a bump all around for a few different players. I do agree. I think Jaylen Brown, we saw when Kemba was out at the start of last season that he went absolutely crazy, averaging like 27 or 28 points a night. So I think he's going to take another step forward. I think Tatum and his assists are going to continue to grow as they have been the last few seasons. And I agree with you, Marcus Smart. I think Marcus Smart is the biggest winner because I think if he plays point guard and if he's the starting point guard opening night, he is someone who might even be a potential sleeper depending on how ADPs roll out. He's often someone that gets bumped down people's boards because of his field goal percentage, but he's going to give you steals. He's going to give you good assists, threes, rebounds for a guard. Solid free throw percentage. So he is someone that I think is in for a pretty big year as the starting point guard. You touched on it before. Do you think Schroeder starts for this team? Personally, I don't. I think he was signed on a one-year deal. You know, was it a minimum or $6 million? That sort of tells to me that they're not banking on him long-term. So I don't know if that means he starts for this team.
I mean, I'm not too sure if Marcus Smart is a true point guard, though. So I don't know if it will work. I think, you could argue Schroeder isn't either. He's more of a scorer. So It's a question mark. I think it's either between him, Jay Rich, and Al Horford for that last starting role. And it could be any of those three to slot in with such a, you know, agile and quite easy lineup to fit in as it all flows. So I think one question would be, who would you draft first in a draft? Would it be Al Horford or Robert Williams?
Oh, because
they
Williams.
Could be similar.
No, it's Robert Williams all day
you
long.
Robert Williams?
100%. This guy has got the per minute upside. I think that he is someone who... Who do you think gets more minutes, Robert Williams or Al Horford?
Well, that's what it comes down to. Like, maybe Al Horford takes the starting center role and Williams comes off the bench.
It wouldn't surprise me at the start of the season if Al Horford's playing more minutes, but by the end of the season, it's Robert Williams. Because I'm a Robert Williams truther. I've got him on my dynasty team. Obviously, I'm a Celtics fan. I watch the team very closely, and I think Robert Williams is the center of the future. I think he's the perfect fit with this starting group. You know, a low usage player that just plays defense, blocks shots, and dunks the ball. That's what we need next to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So I actually, funnily enough, before the Dennis Schroeder signing, I thought that Robert Williams was in for a breakout season, and he's someone that I'm watching very closely in the preseason and potentially might be a breakout candidate for me. But if he gets 28 minutes a night, he's got top 50, top 40 potential because it's just that. Those blocks, the steals, the field goal percentage, all that good stuff. So, yeah, it's easily him for me.
But that being said, I mean, Al Horford, he was putting up his numbers. They're not to laugh at. He put up 14,
they were
7
good.
Rebounds, 3.5 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.9 blocks. Yes, it was on an OKC team that was displaying his talents.
Yeah.
I still think that, Robert Williams can get in foul trouble. He does get injured. Al Horford could be a good go-to kind of mid-round to late-round pickup.
Yeah, look, I don't hate it. Obviously, the shutdown risk is less on a team like the Celtics, which is a big thing.
They won't shut them down. They're a playoff team.
They're a playoff team. They want them to be feeling good going to playoffs. But I don't know. I just think that his value is also tied very much to low turnovers, and you know how I feel about turnovers. So I think that if you take that into account, he's closer to that sort of top 100, top 90 player than like a mid-round guy. So for me, it's just something that I'm not as keen on. But there is a point at which I would draft him, but I would definitely be taking the swing on the upside for Williams first because his upside's really high. Let's move on. We've talked a lot about the Boston Celtics, as I don't mind, but I'm sure the listeners want me to talk about something else. Let's go on to the Brooklyn Nets. Just a few different things here. Patty Mills is one of their big signings. They've also brought on James Johnson, and they've drafted a couple of rookies in Cam Thomas and Kessler Edwards. They lost Spencer Dinwiddie, who was injured most of the season anyway, and one of the big losses they have was Jeff Green. So in terms of fantasy implications, there's not a lot of going on here. Maybe you could say that the loss of Jeff Green frees up a few minutes at center for Nicholas Claxton, who is someone that I'm also watching as a potential breakout candidate as well. But outside of that, it's going to be much the same for the Nets this year. Would you agree?
Yeah, much the same. You still got the big three, and they're getting their shots. James Harden's he's going to get a lot of assists this season. Now he's going to have the full season there. Expect Kyrie to still have amazing percentages. Expect Kevin Durant to do his thing. Yeah. So all of them would still be first and second round picks in my mind.
Now, you can see the starting lineup that I've got here for the Brooklyn Nets. Do you agree with the starting lineup? Do you think that Blake Griffin starts the center?
I probably think it could be a matchup-based thing. Seeing what Steve Nash does. I can see Blake actually is coming off the bench, being that glue guy from that end, and then maybe I'm going with the Claxton just to have that bit more agility and size.
I'd love to see that. I do like Nicholas Claxton. I think he fits in better with these guys, the starting lineup. Again, just like that low usage player, defensive orientated. So if he is starting opening night, again, might not have the upside that Robert Williams has, but someone who I think is going to be a bit of a breakout contender for this fantasy season. Not a well-known player, so if you're drafting early, I would be definitely taking him towards the back end of your draft and crossing my fingers because I think there's real potential here for Nicholas Claxton as a breakout guy. Let's move on to the Charlotte Hornets. Lots happening over here at Charlotte. We've got a few inclusions. We've got Mason Plumlee traded on draft night, as well as a few key draftees in James Bouknight and Kai Jones. They've also brought in Kelly Oubre Jr., Ish Smith, and they've also got a second-round pick in JT Thor. Notable losses, they've lost Devontae Graham, Cody Zeller and Malik Monk. Firstly, pour out one for Cody Zeller, the longest tenured Charlotte Hornet. He's finally out of there. It's a sad day.
Look, I thought he was going to get that rebounding record. Maybe he did. I haven't looked it up. I haven't gone out of my way, but maybe he's the lead rebound in Hornet history.
It wouldn't shock me. There's not been a huge amount of rebounders in that franchise. But let's touch on a few things for the fantasy implication. Now, this team, when I've been looking at the projections, they're surprisingly deep. They go nearly too deep in every position. Who do you think's, again, we'll talk biggest winners and biggest losers on this team. Do you have anyone in mind?
I think LaMelo Ball, now that he's got the keys, he is a winner,
yeah.
Just in general. We know that, I guess, look, they got Ish Smith. He's a backup point guard. He'll fit well with LaMelo
strictly
when they play some minutes together. But otherwise, Devontae Graham is out of there. So I feel like him and Scary Terry Rozier will definitely have the reins. And Scary Terry had some great fantasy value too. I think he will maintain it. So he is worth pretty much where he was. There was many points during last season where he was like a top 20 fantasy player for a good month or two. Yeah. So he's worth reaching for if you like him. Gordon Hayward, you do have to remember, I think it is an injury concern. Everyone should realize that at this point in his career. It's been year after year after year. And so it's a good thing that they do have depth. So if he does go down, maybe swipe up a Kelly Oubre, for example, because I think he fits in the six-man role right now.
Yeah. I don't have him projected in a starting lineup. Would you agree with that, with Kelly Oubre?
I think he would slot into that six-man role currently, yeah.
Yes, I thought it was interesting him signing there because you've got Miles Bridges in there, you've got the rookie Booknight who you're higher on than I am, but you know, you've got the Martins, although I think one of the Martins, I can't remember if it was Caleb or Cody, got dropped a couple of days ago. Jalen McDaniels is still there. You know, so there's you know, PJ Washington, Gordon Hayward, there's a lot of wings on this team, so that's why I sort of had a hard time when I'm doing my projections, trying to figure out who gets on the court for the most. I think a couple of losers for this team from a fantasy perspective. PJ Washington is someone who played a lot of small ball center last year, with Cody Zeller being, you know, pretty shit. I think Mason Plumlee, look, he's not the best center in the world, but I think he is still an upgrade over Cody Zeller. And the fact that they've got, you know, Kai Jones sitting in the back there as well, who can get some minutes as a rookie center, maybe a little bit this year, not too much. It limits his center minutes, which I think is where he gets all his blocks and rebounds and things like that. So I think he's a loser. I think Kelly Oubre Jr. and Miles Bridges are also both losers because of the depth on this team. But they're still probably draftable players, but yeah, I would be tempering expectations to sort of that 100 rank range at this early stage without going too deep into it. Would you agree with those sort of assessments there?
Yeah, I agree. I'd probably even ease off drafting Kelly Oubre just because I don't know what his role will be like in this team. I think it would be a six man. He could be a flyer in like the very late rounds, but I'd like to see it first. The thing is, when he was at Washington and played the six man, he did do really well, but he was kind of the lead guy off the bench.
Yeah,
this team is so deep that those stagger minutes between Ball and Rozier, and you've got Booknight who's going to handle some of the ball himself as well. So I do think he's definitely taken a bit of a hit.
Yeah, I forget that he originally came from Washington and then obviously went to the Phoenix Suns where he played really well. I think he was like a top 60 player in fantasy when he was at Phoenix, and then obviously didn't play as well at Golden State. I think in terms of his like percentages and things like that, I think he'll be better this year coming than he was at Golden State because he was horrible, especially to start the season. Like his percentages were disgusting. I think he'll be better than that, but it's going to be counteracted by the lack of usage and so the other mouths to feed on that team. So overall, he's a bit of a loser. Let's move on to one of the biggest players in free agency, the Chicago Bulls. The first one was well advertised. It was Lonzo Ball is one of the notable additions.
Never lost.
Lonzo Ball there, and there's one of our buttons there for the long-time listeners. And DeMar DeRozan, as well as Tony Bradley, who is a sort of a center they can plug in there. A few losses here for this team. Otto Porter, I've got him down there, but obviously he was also traded to the Magic, so that one is a long-time loss. Thaddeus Young, Thomas Satoransky, Daniel Tice, and Garrett Temple. And I don't know if they're bringing back Larry Markkinen. We still don't know what's going on with Larry Markkinen at this stage. He's still unsigned. He's not talking to anyone. He's stopped calling people. He's not taking texts. So it sounds like he's out of there, just not sure where he is going just yet at time of recording. What's still a fair bit to play out with this team. They actually don't have a full roster signed yet. But generally, what's the fantasy implications here, Cal?
I'll say, I think with Markkanen, this fantasy roster won't be complete because I think Markkanen will be a sign and trade. So I think someone else will be coming in for him. But that being said, the biggest winners, I like their starting lineup offensively. And I think you can pretty much lock that in with Ball, Levine, DeRozan, Williams, and Vucevic.
Yeah.
Obviously, in terms of a loser, we spoke about it when the trade happened. Vucevic, his stock will come down. He was putting up top 10 value for the majority of the time at Magic. He's still going to be a second-round draft pick. I'd say a second-round draft pick. I think Williams is worth a flyer. Last time, he was kind of in and out of our waiver wire. Yeah. But right now, he will definitely have the defensive assignments every single game. He will get steals. He can get blocks. He's putting up a good summer league. I think even though the shots might not be there, percentages should be. I think it could be a bit of a Nick Batum of the old days in terms of fantasy value. DeRozan, I think his assists will drop.
I think
they will drop. Levine, all of his could take a bit of a bump as well from last season, given the fact that he is now sharing the ball with DeRozan. His stats will be reasonably similar to what they were at New York.
Yeah, I think he's the safest in terms of like a hit because he's such a low usage play. He doesn't require many touches to get his points. He shoots a high volume out of three, so even if his shots, you know, decrease, they're still most of them are three-pointers. He still gets his rebounds and all those sort of things. Levine, DeRozan, they don't want to trouble the rebounding. But I think Levine, DeRozan, and Ball could all lose some assists because there's a lot of playmaking going on there. Vucevic is a good playmaker as well. So, like you said, I like their team offensively. Defense, we'll see. But I think there are a lot of losers going on here. I think the biggest loser of all is Coby White. I think, well, not that he was someone who had insane value to begin with. I thought he was going to potentially have a bit of a breakout year last year. Didn't happen. He's just not that good. But I think he will suit this off-the-bench role a bit better, a la Jordan Clarkson, Jamal Crawford. But in terms of his assists, in terms of his sort of scoring, it's obviously going to take a hit with reduced minutes off the bench. But yeah, I think it's a bit of a hit to most players' values on this team. So, but I think, like you said, Lonzo is probably the safest in this group here.
Yeah, I will say that I still love Zach LaVine. Where would you be drafting him?
See, he was a top 20 player last year, if memory serves me. I think he is someone who I would be drafting either back end of the second round, start of the third. So sort of towards that 20 to 25 range would be my guess at the moment. I haven't done my projections at the moment, but that's sort of where I'm putting him there because he's a scorer. You got to get your points early. He gets steals, even though he's not a great defender.
He doesn't really get steals, though. That's why his averages usually aren't top 20.
Yeah. I'll have to double check that. I haven't quite done my projections just yet, but I would guess he's probably still a top 25 player, but more towards that 20 to 25.
I reckon around the 25 to 30 for me. But look, I love having him on my team. He can actually be sneaky good in field goal as well for a point guard. Shot over 50% from the field, gets you threes, puts up that really solid stat line of about 25, 5, and 5.
Yeah.
It really is just those defensive stats. So he only averaged 0.8 steals last season.
Yeah, that's his big need.
And I don't expect that going up anytime soon. You could say on the Team USA team is inspired in the play defense. Maybe that's the case. Unlikely.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it at all, but we'll see. We will see. They'll need someone to step on defense, that's for sure. Let's go on to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not a lot happening here at all. They basically have had one signing that's worth noting. That's Ricky Rubio, as well as bringing in their number three overall pick, Evan Mobley. We know that probably the biggest thing they did in free agency was re-sign Jarrett Allen. We sort of expected with Mobley being the draft pick that wouldn't happen, but it has happened. What are your thoughts on the re-signing there in terms of how it's going to affect Mobley and Allen? Are they playing together or is, you know, Mobley coming off the bench? What's going on there, Cal?
I think they definitely can play together. You might even find when other teams go small ball against them, you just have Mobley close it with him at the five. But Jarrett Allen's still going to get some time. Definitely in the first three quarters. he, and like any bigs these days, they'd probably only average like the high 20s in numbers. They won't be in the 30s, which Jarrett Allen wasn't doing anyway. He's still going to get his blocks. He'll get his rebounds. He'll get his field goal in that time that he's given. So,
yeah, okay. We had Mobley as our second ranked dynasty rookie. Does the re-signing of Jarrett Allen change that at all for you? Or is it just the fact that you still believe in Mobley and still believe in his sort of projection long-term anyway with Allen being there?
Look, maybe this would be the start of the Twin Towers. Maybe we could have two players of two blocks averaged on the same team. I'm not concerned about Mobley. He'll get you blocks. That's why you draft him. He's a safe bet for blocks. Won't hurt you really anywhere. He can shoot. He can do everything. And that is the reason you would draft him.
I've actually been really impressed with him so far at Summer League in terms of his passing ability, in terms of his ball handling. I've seen him sort of like start fast breaks a fair bit at Summer League. So I do like his ability to play a little bit of four. I personally would rather see him as a five, a center, but I do think that it's not going to limit his minutes is probably the biggest thing. I think he's still going to play probably close to 30 minutes in his rookie year. So pretty early question, but where would you be comfortable drafting him in a redraft league in terms of next year?
Like a dynasty league?
No, like a redraft league. So like when we have our ball boys state high draft, where's he coming off the board? Is he coming off sort of top 70? Where are you thinking?
I think you'd be trying to pick him up. Look, he's going to get minutes. He's going to get blocks, and blocks are hard to come by. So I'd say as high as a fifth round pick and as late as a seventh round pick, it'd be between that bracket.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. So that'd be like that 60 to 85 range. I think that's probably about right. I think last year I drafted James Wiseman at pick 90. Obviously that went horrible. I'm a bit higher. I'm a bit higher on Mobley than I am with James Wiseman. It's a different team that's not trying to win a championship now. So I think for that reason, I'd go a bit higher. So probably I'd be around pick 70, 75 for me personally in a redraft league. But it is dependent if you need those blocks, if you need those rebounds and field goal percentage. Let's move on to the Detroit Pistons, the Bad Boys. Obviously, not a huge lot going on here either, but a couple of draft picks that we need to talk about. Cade Cunningham, selected number one overall. And randomly, they picked up Kelly Olynyk on free agency. That was a bit of a weird one. They've obviously lost Mason Plumlee and Wayne Ellington as two notable losses. What do you think is happening with this team from a fantasy perspective? How do these inclusions of Cade and Olynyk affect the rest of the team?
Well, the clearest one will be Jeremy Grant, I think, will take a hit just because of Cade's there. Cade's going to have a lot more of the ball. And also because Killian Hayes is healthy as well. I just think this team will be looking a little bit differently. Sadiq Bey also takes a fair bit of shots. He was obviously starting off the bench last year.
Yeah.
He will be in that starting lineup. It's a pretty new shaped team. I think you can definitely be confident in Cade. Firstly, Jeremy Grant, even though he will take a bit of a dip, I wouldn't go reaching for him. Don't expect him to put up the same numbers as last season. But I would be looking to reach for Isaiah Stewart. He is a great player. He in the last 3 months, when he was getting a bit more minutes in terms of like a starting role, he was averaging about 2.3 blocks a game, while shooting good free throw percentage. And that is hard to come by.
Lots
and that
rebounds
was kind
too.
Of your 50-ish value. So.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a trend here. I think there's a lot of big guys, young bigs, who are sort of primed, ready to break out. Funnily enough, all the ones we've talked about, I do have on my fantasy team. So I'm hoping a little bit, on my dynasty team. So I'm hoping a little bit is going to happen. But I think Isaiah Stewart should be starting come opening night. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I'll definitely say that.
And you have Olynyk off the bench?
I mean, is Olynyk really a star? Olynyk is putting
signing.
Up MVP like, numbers too.
Yeah.
We have to maintain that at Houston Rockets, he was an MVP candidate. But I think it's Isaiah Stewart at this point.
I think so too. But a part of me just thinks that Dwayne Case is going to do something fucking stupid and just put Olynyk out there and put his rookies that were in the all rookie teams last year on the bench. And I don't know. There's a little bit of a concern there. But if I get a whiff that Isaiah Stewart is the starter and he's going to be playing 28 minutes a night, then yes, I think top 50 is not out of reach for him. Just again, fantasy players that, you know, put up good field goal percentage, blocks, rebounds, free throw percentages that won't kill you, you know, they're worth their weight in gold. They're very hard to come by. So he is someone that I am very interested in and I think is another breakout contender. Let's, we didn't touch on Cade too much, but just quick question, where would you be taking him in redraft league? So he's our number one rookie dynasty ranked player. What do you think about redraft leagues?
He's definitely going to be handed the keys. So I'd probably say around the 50, because I can see him putting up like about an, 18, 6 and 6. And the assists are valuable. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And maybe they are worth getting pretty early when you can get them in terms of the draft. So I'd say around the 50 mark.
I like it. I think I've got him exactly around that mark. I think he could potentially return top 40 value, but in terms of the risk, I wouldn't want to take him there. It is risky taking rookies this early in redraft leagues. It worked out. I think the last one that really worked out was Carl Anthony Towns when he was a rookie.
Who I drafted, and that was great for me.
You did, yeah. And kudos to you. It was a good pick. I think I tried one a couple of years ago when I drafted Zion in, I think it was the fourth round. Expecting more defensive stats, they didn't come. So, we're expecting some defensive stats from Cade. They might not come like a Zion, but we'll see how we go. I'm probably a bit more confident in Cade than I am in Zion because there's not that negative in terms of free throw percentage and three-pointers. He's a bit more well-rounded. All right, let's move on to the Indiana Pacers. Again, not a team we have to talk too much about. They've brought in a couple of rookies in Isaiah Jackson and Chris Duarte. They also brought in Torrey Craig and lost Doug McDermott. But basically, not a lot else happening here. The only question I sort of want to throw up to you, Cal, is who is their starting small forward? At the moment, I've got Justin Holiday there, but you could also consider players like TJ Warren. You could talk about Jeremy Lamb. Does Caris LeVert start at small forward and maybe TJ McConnell starts in there? What's happening at the small forward position there, Cal?
I think it's going to be TJ Warren if he's healthy, and he was out for all of last season. You'd think he would be back. He had foot surgery, but that was in May of last year. So
yeah.
I'm not too sure. It wasn't May of last year, but he could be back. I think I'd actually probably bet my money on Chris Duarte. Just because I think he is NBA ready. He's doing a great summer league, showing starting, he can do it all. He defends.
You think
I would actually sneakily maybe have a bit of a fire with Chris in my last pick in terms of the, if I do a bit of a draft, he would be I think he's worth a fire.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I don't hate it. I think it's definitely a position that's open and it's going to be a bit of a battle. Even if he gets the starting role, I'm not sure if he gets the minutes though, because there are a few guys there competing for that role. So in my eyes, I think that position is just a bit of a wash when it comes to fantasy. But if he really takes the reins and makes it his position, puts up 30 minutes a night, then he definitely could put up fantasy stats. He gets the threes, he gets the assists, steals. So he's got a good fantasy profile. As your last pick, that's definitely worth a flyer. So I don't hate that at all. Let's move over to the Miami Heat. Big players in the free agency. One of the biggest signings was getting Kyle Lowry in a sign-and-trade. They've also picked up PJ Tucker, so two huge additions for their the real NBA push with your boys there. And they obviously also lost Goran Dragic and Precious Achiuwa. So they're also pretty low on players in general, so they haven't re-signed a few of their guys to create the cap space. What are your thoughts in terms of fantasy implications here, Cal, with the addition of Kyle Lowry?
I think it will have a bit of an effect on Jimmy Butler's assists. It's pretty crazy to think. I think he had about 7.2 assists last season, which was definitely a season high. I'll stat check that now. But
yeah,
he was incredible. You'd have to expect that to come down. He's still going to get you the steals, but he won't be in that same tier. He's still a second-round pick, I think, a late second-round pick, good old Jimmy Butler. I think Kyle Lowry, I'm not too sure how it's going to affect him, really. I think his numbers will be maintained pretty similar to what he's been putting up last year. And last year, there was a decrease in value from the year previously, but I think that will kind of, to some degree, even out just because he was playing in Tampa Bay and he wasn't too motivated. He will be motivated this season.
Yeah, there's definitely more at stake at this season. So, I probably agree. I think Kyle Lowry's stats will probably, maybe a slight decrease just because he's getting older, but more that than a different team sort of thing. Jimmy Butler's, hit to the assists. Maybe a little bit of a hit to the assists for Bam Adebayo. But not a whole lot happening on this team. They're obviously still going to play heavy minutes. Their bench, they're not too deep on terms of the bench. You know, you've got your Tyler Heroes and things like that coming off the bench. But I don't see a super amount of things changing here for this team.
Is Tyler Hero worth drafting?
Look, he'd be worth the last sort of couple of picks flyers if you're super keen. But I'm personally not a huge Tyler Hero fan. I think we discussed this last year on the pod. He was a bust potential. He ended up being a bust. So, which you unfortunately drafted due to a shot clock violation, which is pretty ironic. But yeah, look, last couple of picks, that's fine if you want to get some threes and points.
I think he will have a better season this season. He was fighting some injuries last season, and he's going to get a lot of minutes. There's not really a backup point guard.
No, there are a lot of minutes available, yeah.
Yeah, so I do actually think he will be having the ball in his hands a fair bit in that second unit, so he definitely is worth a flyer in my eyes.
Yep, if you can start with the percentages, yeah, I think he will put up some raw stats. Let's move on to one of the most boring teams in the NBA, and I say boring because they've obviously just won the championship, so they don't need to do too much. The Milwaukee Bucks, they add Rodney Hood and Grayson Allen and lose PJ Tucker. From a fantasy perspective, I don't think there's really anything that changes for this team. Every player is just going to keep doing their thing. There might be a little bit of a battle for the starting shooting guard here. Dante DiVincenzo was their starting shooting guard last year. I think he holds the spot, but obviously you've got Hood and Allen and Chris Middleton, who might move down there as well, competing for that spot. So maybe he is someone who is considered a loser out of this, but it probably evens itself out with PJ Tucker gone, so more minutes just on those wings in general. Any quick thoughts on this team here?
I'll say DiVincenzo should be coming back. He was great on the defensive end, rebounds. Yeah. He was somewhat worth owning as a late flyer.
Yeah.
I think Bobby Portis is also worth owning as a late flyer in this league just because they're not super deep and Bobby's going to get minutes. When he gets in the court, he gets a bucket. He's a fan favorite for a reason.
Yeah, and Brook Lopez is another year older, so you've got to take that into account as well. So I guess you could say that...
Anything's possible! Anything's possible!
Anything is possible with Bobby Portis. So let's move on to the New York Knicks. They've had a few things going on here. Obviously, the addition of Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, a couple of draftees in Miles McBride and Quentin Grimes. Not a lot that they've given up for that. Reggie Bullock is the only main loss on this team as well. What do we think is going to be different with Kemba Walker on this team? And who's the winner and who's the loser on this side?
That's a good question. I'd say a loser maybe to some degree was RJ Barrett. Even though his fantasy value wasn't huge, I think it's still going to take a bit of a knock. And then Julius Randle, surely his usage will go down a bit, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is actually going to be a bit of a loser out of this because the usage will go down. I think he had an insane jump last year, and I'm just skeptical in his ability to do it again. I was very impressed. He was in my all-NBA teams. I just don't know if he can do it again. The assists were really high. Maybe Kemba takes a bit of that. Maybe, you know, RJ Barrett steps up another level. You know, you've got players like the rookie last year whose name is just escaping me. Oh, Emmanuel Quickley, who's probably going to step up again and improve. Tibbs is probably going to trust him a little bit more. So there's a bit more playmaking on this team. Even Evan Fournier is a better playmaker than a Reggie Bullock. So I think he might see a dip in assists. Maybe the 3% drops off a little bit. So I can see him regressing a little bit. Do you think Kemba Walker is going to last? How many games before Kemba Walker gets injured in Tom Thibodeau 38 minutes a night kind of role?
That's a great question. I mean, they got a deep guard lineup, but we know for a fact Tibbs will probably play him 40 minutes to ground
that,
every night.
Yeah.
look, maybe it'll be a month. Let's say by Christmas.
Yeah, so I would keep that in mind. Look, he's had a lot of surgeries and problems with those knees. So always keep that in mind with Kemba Walker. But... yeah, I think there's not too much that changes here. Do you think, have I guessed right in Evan Fournier being their starter at small forward here?
I think he's probably going to be coming off the bench because that's just how they do it. They lost Bullock, so he's out. I don't know who they're going to put in instead of them. That's the question. So,
you know, you've got Alec Burks there, who's someone I considered as well, but I don't know. He sort of was in and out of the starting lineup last year. I don't think they can start with a two-guard lineup of Quickley and Walker, which, you know, maybe. Definitely don't think it's a front court of Obi Toppin and Julius Randle there as well.
I'd probably just flip. Okay, when I'm reading it now, surely RJ Barrett would be the small forward, Fournier the shooting guard, and that makes more sense.
I think
Fournier will be at the starting spot.
You could flip those either way. I don't think it really matters. They could cross guard and do all sorts of different things. So
yep. I guess one question again is when you're in the draft day, something I kind of like what people do is they draft both Mitchie Robinson and Nerlens Noel because we know one of them will go down. And then the other one will put up good value.
Yeah.
We're in the same situation again this year.
I'm not a big believer in handcuffing, but I think in this situation it is okay, especially if you can get like Nerlens Noel sort of like with your last pick because it is good insurance if you're a Mitchell Robinson owner because here they both are obviously injury prone and foul prone as well. So it can sort of work out to your favor that way. Let's go over on to Orlando. No free agencies of note, although they did sign the brother of Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, to the team because, you know, that's just nice. That's brotherly love, bringing them together. And also their number four pick, Jalen Suggs, and they lost Otto Porter, as I mentioned before, for the Chicago Bulls. What's going on here? Do you think that Jalen Suggs starts opening night?
I think he definitely does, yeah. Lock him in for a starting role.
He looked amazing in their first game. I was really, really impressed with his defensive ability. Maybe lacks the passing and assist creation that maybe these other guys are, and maybe the fact that he might be playing a bit more shooting guard, Fultz and Anthony is there. You might not see the assists that you might like in year one, but I think he's just going to be awesome. I think he's going to be someone who's going to put up steals, blocks from the guard position. Points. His shot looks really good, so I am in on Jalen Suggs. I think he could be a top 100 player this season. So I'd be comfortable drafting him in redraft leagues. Would you?
Yeah, I totally agree. I can see him putting up about the 16-5-5 with maybe one and a half steals, and that's definitely worth owning with the steals and the assists. He won't hurt you. He's just one of those players that I don't think will really hurt you at all, and he'll just contribute to a good winning team in terms of the fantasy value. Even with Fultz and Cole Anthony, whoever does end up starting next to him. Fultz, I think, obviously, will still have some time off
just
because of the shortened season. He probably will be out for the first month at least, but that's yet to be determined.
Yeah, I think Fultz and Isaac are both out to start the season, which is why I don't have them listed as the starting five, but I think both of them do start eventually by the end of the season. So keep that in mind. At the moment, I've got Cole Anthony and Franz Wagner filling the gaps there, but I think that will change by the end of the season. Moving right along, let's go on to Philadelphia. Nothing really happening here. They swapped out Dwight Howard for Andre Drummond and drafted Jaden Springer for this team. They also signed George Niang, but very little else happening. We're just waiting for a Ben Simmons trade. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Do we get a trade before the start of the season, Kyle?
It's possible. I wouldn't rule it out with this league.
I reckon it's happening.
Guaranteed!
Yeah, lock it in. Lock it in right now. We're getting a Ben Simmons trade. I think that this is going to... Well, I think they're going to try to play it out like a James Harden situation and force them into it by not talking to anyone, kick up a storm. But I just don't think... Well, I think they should. They definitely should trade him before the start of the season. So, I'm going to make that a Charles Barkley guarantee.
Actually, I think I read an article today saying that he told the front office that he wasn't coming to training camp.
Really?
Coming to the, I believe I did read that. Hasn't been confirmed, but
we'll see how that happens. And of course,
the wheels are turning on that one. That's for sure.
Yeah, and of course, have you seen all the footage of him hitting threes with Rondo and all this sort of stuff?
Oh, dude, he's working on that J.
Just like every year.
Every summer. He's been working on it for years. He's finally going to unleash it.
What if one year he actually just comes in and starts bombing threes away? I'd be very happy.
Hits 40% from three.
Yeah, that'd be very, very happy. Let's move over on to Toronto. We've got, obviously, they lost Kyle Lowry. And shout out to Aaron Baines, who's also been waived by the team as well. They picked up Goran Dragic and Precious Achiuwa in that sign-and-trade. It looks like Goran Dragic is on the team for now, but there was talk about him being moved on later on, so I'm not sure what's going on there. He made an apology or something later on about saying something to the Raptors, but anyway. And they've also obviously drafted Scotty Barnes. Now, it also looks like Pascal Siakam might miss the start of the season with a labrum surgery that he had towards the end of the last season. So we have to keep that in mind as well. What's happening here, Cal? Who are the biggest winners and losers with Kyle Lowry leaving the Raptors?
It's obviously, it's going to be Freddie Van Fleet. I think those assist numbers will definitely go up. And this is a guy who was kind of like the 20 to 25 range just because he was getting steals. He was doing it all. And I think that now the ball will be in his hand just that bit more. He could get up to 8 assists. Yeah, he could get up more than that. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Which really would definitely kind of secure him for me as a second-round pick easily. He was when he went in the third round last season. He's definitely a second-round pick in my eyes.
I think he's easily a second-round pick, and if you are punting field goal percentage, if you can pair him at the end of the first round with someone like a Trey Young or, I don't know, someone like a Bradley Beal, probably not the best example, but yeah, someone like that, he's returning first-round value for you because he's ranked 24th last year, and that was shooting... Let me look it up. 39%, so under 40% shooting, and he's still a top 25 player. That's incredible. So you take that field goal percentage out of the equation. If you're punting that category, he is extremely valuable and a very underrated player. So I do love me some Fred Van Vliet. I'm also keeping my eye on Malachi Flynn. He's someone who is very interesting to me. We saw glimpses of him last year when they started tanking really bad. Although I do think that Gary Trent Jr. is the starting shooting guard on opening night. I wouldn't be shocked by the end of the season if that is Malachi Flynn starting next to Van Vliet. We know they like to start two guards together that can both handle the ball. They've done it with Kyle Lowry and Van Vliet. And I think Gary Trent is a bit one-dimensional for me. So what are your thoughts on Malachi Flynn?
Look, I'm not going to draft him anytime soon.
I probably wouldn't draft him. He's a watch
worth
list.
Having on my watch list.
Yeah. I wouldn't say draft unless we hear a lot of noise in the preseason of him starting or getting sort of 26 minutes a night. What do you think about the center position? I've got Ken Birch in there as my starting center. I'm just going with the fact that it doesn't look like they think Boucher is a starting center. He'll probably still put up lots of stats in limited minutes. But I think we shouldn't be treating him as like a 30-minute-a-night guy in Boucher. Ken Birch is probably sort of the mid-20s in minutes for me personally. Do you think I've got that right there, Cal?
I think you do have it right. I think Ken Birch will be the starting center. But I will say it could even... Precious does have a chance. Precious Achiuwa, who they acquired in that trade. But right now, I would put my money on Birch. And I'd even throw a bit of a flyer as a late-round pick. Because he will put up reasonable value if he is starting.
Yeah. No, I like that. He's a solid back-end sort of guy to me. Last team for the Eastern Conference, we're going through the Washington Wizards. They've obviously added Spencer Dinwiddie, Aaron Holiday, Montrezl Harrell, Corey Kispert, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kyle Kuzma, and they have lost Russell Westbrook and Ish Smith. So lots of ins there, not many outs. Obviously, a lot of that in that Russell Westbrook trade. I think... that this makes Bradley Beal first round considering. You consider him at the end of the first round again. What are your thoughts on Spencer Dinwiddie? I think he is going to have a lot of hype around him in the preseason. Are you on board the hype? Are you jumping on there?
It depends where, like how early in the draft do you reckon people are going to...
I don't know. I reckon people get pretty excited. I'm thinking he might be around the board on pick 50 to 60 personally. But again, that's a bit of a stab in the dark.
I'd be going after that. I'd probably say, I don't think he's ever really put up a whole lot of assists. So for a point guard, if you're doing a punt assist build, then you need point guards. You still need them. You could go Spencer Dinwiddie on that type of build. But I'd probably only be putting maybe like a pick around the 80s to acquire him.
Yeah.
Just because of the injury thing. But we learned from last season, look, injuries can... ruin everything. It is what it is. I would say Danny Avdija, I thought he suffered a bit of an injury last season. I'm not too sure if he's going to be in the starting lineup to begin it.
Yeah, but I think that's a bit of a question mark for me.
But look, Kuzma could slide in there. He KCP. Could be a flyer. Maybe we'll wait and see what training camp's coming out as. Yeah. But remember, Kuzma averaged 18 points in this league. and he will be having a pretty good opportunity here. I'd keep him on my watch list.
Yeah, look, I'm not excited about Kyle Kuzma. I think I just think that there's this is such a weirdly deep team with a bunch of average players that they're all going to take minutes away from each other. You've got KCP, you've got Corey Pispert, you've got Kyle Kuzma, you've got Rui Hachimura, you've got Davis Bertans still there, you've got Thomas Bryant, you've got Daniel Gafford, you've got Montrezl Harrell. All those guys are like power forward, center, small forward kind of players. So I just don't think any of them are going to have real value, personally. I think they're all just going to take minutes off each other. And Kuzma, even when he gets minutes, he's a points and threes guy only. He doesn't really do much else outside of that. So if you need that, that's fine, and you can stream him in, but I don't think I'm going to be drafting any of those players personally. So for me, in terms of fantasy relevance, it's Spencer Dinwiddie and it's Bradley Beal. I think that's it for this team for me. Maybe you might get Montrezl Harrell if you've got the right punt build. But yeah, outside of that, I don't think I'm going to be drafting.
What about Thomas Bryant? Would you consider Thomas Bryant at all?
I think he's going to be injured at the start of the season, and I've got a new rule now, Cal. I'm not drafting injured players. after Jaren Jackson Jr. last year, that just put a fork in me, and I'm just very conscious, especially for someone who doesn't have much upside like him. I'll just pick him up later when he's healthy. So that would be my answer to that. All right, well, we might leave it there, guys. That is a wrap-up of our Eastern Conference breakdown of the fantasy-relevant implications from free agency. If you're listening along on YouTube, hit us up in the comments on players you think that we missed out on or any questions you have. If you are listening along on the podcast, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Subscribe. And next time, we are coming at you with the Western Conference team. So we'll catch you then. Laters.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.